Hello, and welcome to the Divorced But Not Dead Yet podcast with me, Alicia Tops. Thank you for joining me again this week. If you're returning and if it's your first time, welcome. I hope that this week goes well for you. I hope that if it doesn't, this podcast gives you a little laughter, a little sense of not feeling alone while you're going through this process, and just some reassurance that you're going to be okay. So my week was it was exhausting. I got my butt kicked at work. I'm a retail pharmacist, and if anyone out there's worked in retail pharmacy or is a retail pharmacist, it is not for the weak. So I got my butt kicked at work, and then I decided to take my son to Disneyland because it was his spring break on Monday, and I thought we'd go for a little bit, for a couple of hours, and then we come home, and no big deal. So we got there about 11 o'clock, and we got home at about 11 o'clock. We spent 11 hours at the park. It was amazing. He was big enough to ride all the rides. So we got on all the roller coasters. We had the time of our lives. When I woke up the next morning, I was like, huh, what happened to me? Did I go out last night? Like, I got a headache. My body hurts. And then I realized, oh no, you're old now. You went to Disney yesterday, and your 40-year-old body was like, girl, you did too much. And I promise you, like 3 weeks ago when I was 39, this kind of stuff did not happen to me. I feel like once I turned 40, yeah, I felt like I got hit by a car or something. It was crazy. But I soldiered on through my day, and I ended up editing the episode that you heard last week that night, and I stayed up until 4 a.m. doing that, so no sleep. Yeah, I paid for it for the rest of the week. I was a mess, but doing this podcast is not only therapeutic for me, it's definitely a labor of love. Like, I've never done anything like this before. I'm not a professional podcaster. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not an author. So this is uncharted territory for me. I've never edited anything. I can barely type a Word document. Like, it took me some time to get the edit done and to release. But it's one of those things that, had I never gone through what I went through with my divorce, I would have never gotten to this point of being fearless. Well, I take that back. I won't say I'm fearless, but I'm less fearful. And what I've learned and what I've realized is that going through the divorce process is brutal. Yes, brutal. I said it. That's the way I want to say it. It's both brutal and beautiful. The process of getting to that point, or whatever you go through in your relationship that causes you to get to that point to want to file for divorce, is brutal. The process of making that decision, filing the paperwork, trying to figure out all the other steps in your life, the grief of the relationship, of loss of the relationship, or you're breaking up the family, or, well, I don't want to call it that, separating the family, just the kind of dissolution of your life, the ending of a dream or fairy tale that you had in your head. It's like most of us, since you were a little girl, speaking of Disneyland, of what your happily ever after would be like, it's all falling apart and it's freaking brutal. But what I've learned is that I found a lot of beauty after the brutality. A lot of beauty after going through or after the brutal parts. Like, once you take a breath and stop crying and can ref and reflect, you can see the beauty in it. And for me, this podcast, getting the courage to launch this is one of the beautiful things that came out of it. It's a side of me that I never would have opened up, and being the introvert that I am, and share with people because I was so afraid of being myself. And going through the divorce kind of helped me shed that fear. And so there's beauty and blessings in that. I guess I would say is for me, the most beautiful thing that I've discovered about myself, or that I've been able to implement with myself, is being authentic, being authentically myself. So today, what inspired me to jump on the mic and share with you guys was I was reading a book, because it's part of the healing process, or the just trying to make it through the day process. I like to read, in quotation, self-help books. Because Lord knows I need all the help I can get some days. And the book that I picked up today and start reading is by Rachel Hollis, and it's called Girl, Stop Apologizing. So when I saw the title, it definitely grabbed my attention, because I feel like I spend my whole life apologizing for things that I don't even need to apologize for, especially in my marriage. No, just kidding, but not kidding. But just in life. And I didn't even get to chapter one. I was just in the introduction, and a passage in the introduction really grabbed my attention and inspired me to jump on the podcast. So I'm going to read it. It says, "The older I get, the more I become aware that I was raised thinking that my real value was based on the role I would play for other people. After all, being deemed a good wife or a good mother or daughter is rarely based on how true you are to yourself. To be a good woman, you need to be good for other people. If your kids are happy, then you're a good mom. If your husband is happy, you're a good wife. How about a good daughter, employee, sister, or friend? All of your value is essentially wrapped up in other people's happiness." And I was like, oh my gosh, she's speaking to me. I remember, as a child, I think I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. I don't know where I got the messaging from, or is it just part of my personality, or you just learn over time what your role is in your family. But I remember as a child, I have an older half brother, and he was leaving home for college, and my dad was sad. And, he was being a teenager, so things were kind of tough between my parents and him. And I remember thinking, I'm going to be the best daughter that a parent has ever had. And now that my brother's gone and my dad is sad about that, I'm going to be like a substitute son that he doesn't have. So I remember deciding I'm going to watch sports with him, and I'm going to go fishing with him. I'm going to talk to him about things that I had no interest in, and I just took on this responsibility as like a 7 or 8 year old to help fill the void that I imagined my dad was having, because my brother was gone and they weren't on the best terms. And so you might look at it and think, oh my gosh, just so like emotionally in tune as a child, to have that ability to feel that and see that and to take action. It's like, no. I can't imagine. I have a child, he's 5, so in a couple of years I couldn't imagine him taking on that weight of trying to fill a void in my life because me and his dad's divorced and I don't have another partner or something. And so when I look back at it now, before, I thought it was like, oh, I'm just very emotionally in tune and I care about others, and that's a great quality. But I think, what a weight to carry. And that wasn't the only situation that I took on the responsibility for other people's happiness in my life. That's just the first memory that I remember, like actually doing it. And so, of course,
as I got older, that bled into my friendships, that bled into me being a sister and wanting to be the best sister ever. And of course, when you start dating and you get married, those behaviors just bleed into the next relationship. And I found myself in my marriage doing the same thing I did as a child. It all starts from childhood. All that childhood trauma that you think you're a grown adult and you're just a little child walking around paying bills. So I realized it was showing up. I didn't realize it, honestly, until I got into therapy, that it was leading into my marriage. I took on that same responsibility. I remember when I was planning my wedding, and my mom is very outspoken woman, and I learned to just kind of fall back and let her have her way, people pleasing. And I remember we were planning my wedding, and my husband, soon to be husband, which is now my ex-husband, was trying to give me a pep talk because he wanted me to have the wedding that I wanted and not that my mom wanted. I remember saying to him, ironically, that it doesn't matter if I'm happy. As long as the people I love are happy, how what I want and what I need doesn't matter. I literally said that to him out loud. And he looked at me and he said, "That's no way to live." And I looked at him very puzzled because that's the only way I had ever lived. And I didn't know any other way. And so I just kept doing that. Having that mentality and that behavior in my marriage with him, which after some therapy and after going through a lot of ups and downs with him, I realized he was right about one thing. If he was right about one thing, it was that that is no way to live. And I found myself, because I wanted everyone else to be happy and everyone else to be okay, that I self-abandoned a lot. I didn't say what I wanted. I never expressed what I needed. And that can be very depressing. And I have to say, in filing for divorce, it was the first time in a long time, if and probably ever, that I did something to make me happy. I didn't care who was going to be upset about it, because I know I did everything I possibly could to stay, to make it work. But at the end of the day, I was not happy. What my needs were dismissed, my wants were dismissed, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And one thing that my sister-in-law actually said to me once I shared with her that I was going to file for divorce was that she felt like I only showed the parts of me that my husband would accept. And everything else that he didn't find acceptable, I shrunk or I hid away. And she explained to me, like, look, her and her husband's been together for over 20 years, probably 25 years at this point or more. And she said, you know, he accepts all of me, all my crazy, all of my weirdness. And what I want for you is to find someone. Sorry. Is to find someone that loves you for you. And that was a lot coming from my sister-in-law. And that really kind of, let me gather myself. That really lit a fire under me to live a more authentic life, to be comfortable in my own skin, to love me. And who else doesn't love me can go fuck themselves. That was very vulgar. But that's the kind of attitude that I kind of had to have for a while, because first I had to figure out who I am, because when you live a life trying to make everyone else happy, making decisions and choices based on their happiness, you don't know what makes you happy. You don't really know what you need. So I took time to figure that out. I took time to embrace all the parts of me that I hid away for so long. All my weirdness. Lord knows I'm weird. Oh, I have some very OCD tendencies, and I burst into song, and I'm very too happy. Some would say I'm a very happy, cheerful person, and those parts of me I kind of hid because they weren't accepted. He made me feel bad for being happy, being optimistic, being goofy, you know, being very intelligent, but having moments that I say some of the dumbest things. But I can laugh about it now. I've learned to embrace all those unique, eccentric parts of myself, as that's what makes me who I am. And going forward in my life in general, and especially in dating and looking for another partner or my next partner, my number one goal is to be myself. Whoever's going to be in my space, whoever I'm going to share my time with, whether it's a lover, a friend, they have to accept me for me. And not the bad parts. You know, some people are like, this is who I am and they're a horrible person. No, but just the essence of who you are. I've learned to never shrink myself, to never change or alter who I am to make other people comfortable or to fit in what I think they want. Because if you're not bringing your full authentic self to a relationship, you're not in a real relationship. You're in a fake relationship, and it's destined to fail. Because eventually the real you's going to come out and the other person's going to be like, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what you sold me. Or you're going to get tired of pretending or hiding and shrinking, and then you're going to leave the relationship or you're going to be miserable. So what I am trying to do going forward, and what I encourage you to do if you have the same problem that I've had and that, you know, I'm working on, is to just be yourself. Who is for you will be for you. You know, you'll find you a tribe of weirdos or people who love your whatever your quirks are, and a man or woman or whoever you prefer will love those goofy things about you. Like me, I love fuzzy socks. Like, it will be July and I'll have on fuzzy Christmas socks at work with my, what are those hospital shoes called? I can't remember right now. But I'm a pharmacist, so I have my scrubs on, my Crocs, and my fuzzy socks every day. Like, that's a part of me. If you're going to date me, you need to know that I walk around in fuzzy socks year-round. They might be a holiday themed. And I know it's a little kooky, but it's who I am. Like, things like that that I was ashamed of. If I meet a guy, I'm like, I might show up to your house in some socks just to see how you react. Because you need to know this is what you're getting yourself into. And I feel so good at this point in my life that I'm living more authentically, that I feel so comfortable in my skin as a woman. I've never been happier. And I have a lot of days that I cry because of other things. You know, when you're going through divorce, there's always something. But at the end of the day, I'm happiest inside. And I love myself more than I have ever in my life. And so if I can say one thing that came from getting divorced, one of the many blessings, because as time goes on, you'll realize the growth that you have, you would have never had if you did not leave that situation. One of the things I'm most proudest of, I don't think that's correct. That I'm proudest of is that I have a sense of self, a sense of self-love, and I'm living my most authentic, crazy, effed up life. And I'm loving it. So I advise you to do the same. Embrace your imperfections. Work on loving yourself. If you have a problem with apologizing, where you don't need to apologize, or not putting yourself first. So far, I just picked up this book. Again, it's called Girl, Stop Apologizing by Rachel Hollis. I pick it up. It's upbeat. It's funny. It's been inspirational to me. I needed a little kick in the butt. And just put one foot in front of the other and continue on this hell of a ride called life, and try to live it authentically. Until next time, stay sane and stay radiant. Bye.